This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Kalina Financial Advisors Limited, Wendy's, Ron's Electric Motors, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the... I keep doing that. I keep starting saying welcome back. Welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. If you want to give us a call today, you can do so at 323-6232. We're going to be talking some national issues. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316 and 325-4259. You can also text us at 422-4796. All right, so first issue I'll deal with, because several people asked me about this, is Jerome Fitzgerald, former Minister of Education, being appointed Senior Policy Advisor and head of the Prime Minister's Delivery Unit. Okay. So, a couple of things I want to deal with regard to this today. And I'll help you to understand it by framing it this way. So, in the last general election, the FNM got 44,000 fewer votes than it did in the 2017 general election. The Progressive Liberal Party got 7,000 more votes than it did in the 2017 general election. So the fact that people stayed home and did not vote in what was one of the lowest turnout elections in probably 40 years is the reason that the PLP won. Not that the PLP caught some huge groundswell of support, all right? The coalition pulled some votes. The DNA pulled some votes, right? But by and large, people stayed home. Who would have who voted for the FNM last election? A lot of those people stayed home. So I'll start off by saying this. If you didn't vote in the last election because you were dissatisfied with your choices, then you helped the PLP win. Now, realizing that by your non-participation, you helped the PLP win, I want you to do this for me. All right? Step into reality with me. Jerome Fitzgerald, Allison Maynard Gibson, Damian Gomez, Leslie Miller, Frankie Wilson, these people are entrenched in the Progressive Liberal Party. Do you really think that the PLP was going to assume office and not put PLPs in places that they believe they could use them? Are you lost for some reason? Let me add to that. Why are you surprised, right? If anyone who knows that Fitzgerald has been Brave Davis's chief advisor throughout the last probably 3 years, maybe four.
All right.
He's been there, him and a very select few other people. Jerome Fitzgerald planned the PLP's general election campaign. Okay? You can be surprised that Davis is putting him in the office of the OPM. Let me add to that. Jerome Fitzgerald is a very smart guy. He's an attorney. He's got numerous businesses. He's been very successful. He's a capable, competent person. But, and I hope he does well, and I'm not surprised at all, but let's not try to whitewash the past. Fitzgerald had issues, all right? Two significant issues. One was when they buried, he, along with the cabinet at the time, buried the Rubis report to show that, that showed that the water table in Marathon, a lot of Marathon, was contaminated by gas leaks. All right? So that was a major issue. And Fitzgerald came on the show to talk about it. I asked him why he had not yet resigned. I thought it was a major breach of his responsibility to his constituents and the greater good. He spoke before he came on the show. He said, well, if I had said anything, I would have been fired. So to me, he was putting his job ahead of the welfare of the people. He came on the show. We went back and forth for a bit. Then we talked about education, all right, because he was Minister of Education. The second issue Jerome Fitzgerald had came out on nomination day during the last general election when he was seen to be soliciting business for his father's business from Sarkis's Merlion while he was still a cabinet minister, which is wrong, right? It's against the cabinet manual of policy and procedure or whatever. So it says I'm overloading. Am I yelling? I'm sorry. My bad. Okay. So he was wrong for burying the Rubis report. Straight up. Can't nothing change that. And he was wrong for soliciting contracts for his dad while he was a cabinet minister. Okay? Now, Davis at the time didn't have a problem with it. He said, he's our candidate. We support him. All right? Fitzgerald was incredibly close to former Prime Minister Perry Christie. Okay? And Christie leaned on Fitzgerald a lot. Fitzgerald and Alison Maynard Gibson engineered the Bahamar deal. Okay? And it turned out to be successful. All right? Now, while I'm not going to let people delete history for me, I'm not going to sit here in some sort of umbrage that Jerome Fitzgerald has been appointed. You're going to see a lot more of this, okay? A lot more. When the board appointments come out, they're going to be populated chiefly by PLPs. This is how this works. To pretend otherwise is just not rational. To act surprised when everyone who has been paying attention knows that Fitzgerald's been one of Davis's chief advisors for years now, it just blows my mind, right? So it's like if Minnis came to power and you didn't see like Maurice Moore, right? And these sorts of people, they come with it. The PLPs come with the PLP. I don't know what else you were expecting. So I can't help you if you're mad about that. All I can do is acknowledge with you that Fitzgerald screwed up when he was a cabinet minister. He's no longer in cabinet. He lost his election. And now he's in the office of the prime minister. And we're going to monitor what goes on. And hopefully he can be successful and not do things like bury reports when people's welfare are concerned and solicit contracts, all right? I don't think you could do that as a special policy advisor either. I think that's against the rules. It should be, anyway. All right, so, again, I understand if some of you are in your feelings about it, but I can't sit here and go, oh, no, the PLP is appointing PLPs. What did you think? What did you think was going to happen? Oh, the PLP's, the PLP's giving PLP's contracts. Okay. The FNM didn't give FNM's contracts? Where do you guys live? Y'all live in the Bahamas with me? That's where I live. Right? This has been going on for a long, 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 long time. People support political parties because when they get in power, the political parties put their people in, all right? Jerome Fitzgerald is one of the reasons, along with those of you who decided not to go vote, that the Progressive Liberal Party won, all right? So he's getting his choice pick of what he wants to do. And in reality, he's a capable guy, and he can be successful in that position if he puts his mind to it. He's a man of many talents. I know him, right? We've had our differences, but I know him, all right? He's a very smart guy. He's very astute. He's good at crafting deals. He's good at crafting policy. If he could keep it together, then he could be an asset, a major asset to Brave Davis. That's you know what it is? Like expressing like surprise over this or something? It's like expressing surprise that Chester Cooper got deputy prime minister. That's what that's like. Like, what did you think was going to happen? Of course, that's like expressing surprise that Cooper got his pick of portfolios. Of course. He's one of the reasons the PLP won as well. Because he supported Brave when people were like, eh, Brave. They looked at Cooper and they go, okay, that looks refreshing. All right? So please, spare me. Your surprise and your outrage and your umbrage, if you're going to continue to see this, the PLP is going to put more PLPs in place. That's just how this works. All right? I'm going to talk to you today about the National Review because I think it's instructive. Can we get a phone call? That's fine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Juan. How are you today?
I'm great. How's it going?
I'm okay, thanks.
All right.
Listen, Juan, there is a particular character in the FNM party, right? He had numerous board positions in charge of numerous major facilities in government, right? And they're worried about Fitzgerald. Could I call the person name? Now that they're out of government?
Okay.
All right, Algernon Calder, prime example, okay?
What's the difference between
him and Fitzgerald? You understand what I'm saying, Juan? So, you know, I tell people before they wipe someone else's eye, make sure they take the coal out of their eye first, please. Because, you know, it's only a cycle. That's the way politics work here in the Bahamas. When governments win, they put their persons in place. And there are still a lot of persons which were appointed still refuse to leave. Like a particular lady, she told the persons in charge that she wants another year. How could you want another year without having the permission from persons in charge today?
But if you know your appointment was political in nature, then you can be surprised.
Yes, sir. But anyway, you have a nice day, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like, look at the day after the election. So Minnis won the election in 2017, right? A couple of months later, Marlon Johnson, there was a whole financial secretary, he brought Marlon Johnson in. Okay? The day after the last general election, on September 17th, Simon Wilson went back to the Ministry of Finance, and Marlon Johnson urged everyone to be cooperative with him. I don't know why you got to urge them to do that. He's their boss, and you're not, but that's what happened. All right? So I know what y'all are shocked about. I don't get it. I'm going to... Okay, we got a couple more calls. Good afternoon. Let's do this. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? They're not there. All right, call us back. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. It says, Menace brought back Carl and Dion. They're supposed to be retired. Exactly. Exactly. What do you think this was? The FNM's going to bring back FNMs? All right? He made Quincy Thompson a senator. Had to find work for Quincy Thompson to do. Now Quincy Thompson's going to be in Parliament. I can't do this with people where we act like, oh, I didn't know. This is one. The FNM had no problem bringing Brent Simonet back, nor appointing Alton and Cargill after his NIB debacle. So please, let's cut the righteous indignation. Yeah, I mean, you know, I could see if, like, you'd be mad if, say, like, for instance, anyone who knows anything knows that Ryan Pinder was extraordinarily loyal to Brave Davis throughout the whole tussle with leadership and Christy McChristy wouldn't step down. Ryan Pinder said, Brave Davis is my daddy, right? Not Christy, even though Christy put him in the cabinet. And then people were, like, surprised when Ryan Pinder came back into the cabinet under Brave Davis. Like, you got to put it together, man. You got to put it together. By the way, I think Ryan Pinder's a good choice for Attorney General, to me. I think he knows what he's doing. He's very astute. He can craft policy. He can craft legislation. He knows the law here. He knows international law. He knows American law as well. So I think he's a good fit. But I can't sit here and be all shocked that PLPs are coming back. Stay tuned. More of them are going to be coming back. Stay very closely tuned. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
Juan and everything good.
Yep.
Last time I called you, your problem is xenophobic and everything, and I'm a bomber. I hope you're hanging a bomber this morning.
Well, don't be xenophobic. Well, I won't hang up on you.
I kind of respectfully sort of disagree with what you're saying this morning, because it's not the fact that we don't understand that PLPs come with PLPs. It's just that with a new day, if you could put your foot forward with a new day, you put your best foot forward. We know that Jerome Fitzgerald comes with a lot of stuff hanging on him. You understand me? And you could put him there. I mean, Al Capone was an astute businessman. Mm-hmm. But that's who you could put there?
So Jerome Fitzgerald is Al Capone.
Well, I'm saying, you know, it's a comparison. Mm-hmm. It's nobody had more money than Al Capone them. But you couldn't make them president of the United States of America. You understand? They have other PLPs that they could put there that don't come with all that baggage, man. That is what we are saying. You understand?
Okay.
And thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Jerome Fitzgerald is Al Capone in this scenario. So Jerome Fitzgerald, in your mind, is a mob boss who was wanted by the FBI, right? So in reality, Jerome Fitzgerald's never been convicted of any crime. He's never been charged with any crime. As far as I know, he's never been under investigation for any crime. He screwed up a couple of times as minister. But again, I can't be surprised with you. What happened to the phone? There's no phone now? All right. Let's go to the text line. Now, I'm not saying don't watch what's going on. Stay woke. But I'm saying you can't just sit here. It says, good afternoon. Want to wish a happy heavenly birthday to Mr. Charles Edno Smith, coming from Indira, his former nurse. Yes, happy heavenly birthday. Uncle Donald, yes. Good afternoon. What did I miss? Did Jerome Fitzgerald get a post? Yeah, Jerome Fitzgerald has been appointed senior policy advisor and head of the prime minister's delivery unit. Then they made a... Here's what I don't understand. What are y'all doing? You put a post on Twitter and then you delete it. Like, you see, and when you do squirrely stuff like that, that makes it look like you think it's a problem, right? Yeah, Drone for Jaw got appointed senior policy advisor. People are, I guess, very surprised and outraged for some reason. The gentleman made a comparison to Al Capone. It says, one, you may know that Fitzgerald was involved with the Davis election campaign, but the average Bahamian does not know these things and quite frankly does not understand how our broken system works. Maybe. Says the Prime Minister is free to appoint whomever he chooses. However, from his appointments, we can determine that things will not change and we should expect further deterioration in our country's standing. See, I don't know that to be true. Like, I can't look at... Now, some people I look at over an extended period of time. Drone for Jaw is only in for one term. Some people I look at over an extended period of time. I look at their track record. I'm like, I don't know that they can be of any use. Like, anyway. You... Someone I spoke about before. You understand what I'm saying. All right? I want to go through National Review here in a moment. So we have no phone calls. This is like, Batelco did this to me? No, Fitzgerald, did this? It says, good day, Juan. Sadly, after the way he handled that marathon issue, gas station, and possible water contamination, in my view, Fitzgerald being back does not look good at all. Who could forget that? A new day with possibly many of the same old faces. Not optimal. Boy, I don't know what to tell you. If you think that they're not bringing the PLPs back, 90% of the PLPs will, who got something before, will get some sort of something somewhere. All right? That's just how it goes. The PLP isn't, like with the FNM, they broke apart in these factions. There was the, like, the Turnquests and the people from Sir Cecil who he brought in. And there was the people who were supportive of Ingram, and Minnis pushed most of those people out, or everyone had to, who was a former Ingram, rah, 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 had to swear fealty to Minnis, you understand? And so they broke apart like that. The PLP doesn't work like that, all right? The PLP has internal dissent, but they ultimately come back together and take care of each other. Now, there are a few PLPs, you know who you are, who were very loud and tried to buck the system and went against Brave. You're not going to get anything, okay? More than likely. But the fact about Brave Davis is he's not a vindictive guy, like, say, a Minnis, right? He won't carry these grudges with him for a long time, right? So you never know. You might get something. I'm pretty sure a couple of you I'm thinking about won't get anything. But that's just what it is. Says, hey, Juan, next 5 years, Brave gotta go. I can hear it now. New day, same stuff. Says, what about Brent Simonette, Mr. Contracts? And here's the thing, right? When Brent Simonette got the Town Center Mall contract, I had a problem with it. I made a lot of noise about it. But I'm not gonna sit here and say Brent Simonette wasn't a capable immigration minister. I'm not going to sit here and say Brent Simonette didn't do a passable job anyway as Minister of Financial Services. I'm not going to say he doesn't know the law. He's an attorney. I'm not going to say any of that. He's a successful businessman. I got a problem with that aspect of it, but I don't have a problem with Brent Simonette on the whole. I can rationalize these things. So I got a problem with what Fitzgerald did. I spoke to it. I spoke to him about it. Last term, I don't have a problem with Drone Fitzgerald on the whole. This says, one, in the next election, if God spares my life, I want to see the FNM bring some new faces to running, especially those young ones who served in the Senate while they were in government, did extremely well. Some of the former MPs fail their constituents. All right. This says, water and sewage. Rip Bahamians off with high water bills. We call on Brave to put a stop to this. I'm with you. The PLPs are like the Democrats in America. They're vicious and they stick together. Yeah, they fight tooth and nail, right? Among each other. And only the very, very, very salty will actually break off from the PLP or not openly support the PLP, right? But at the end of the day, they come together, all right? And Brave Davis isn't going to cast aside extremely talented people like Alison Maynard Gibson just because she was unpopular with a certain set of people before, all right? He may not elevate them back up to cabinet, but he's going to use them as much as he can. I don't know. I don't know why y'all are surprised. One, as an independent, I'm disappointed because both parties act like only the same persons get to drink from the bar. And of course, now we will go down party lines of persons calling in, reminding us of the other party doing the same. It does not make it right. That's why people like me never vote. It says, by vicious, I mean evil. They're evil. The PLP is evil. Okay. So Fitzgerald is Al Capone. The PLP is evil. I don't know, man. Some of y'all take this a little too deeply. It says, too many people thought it was a new day but forgot it's the same week. I expect very shortly they will begin to see this. No, man. No, listen to me. It's not that too many people thought it was going to be a new day, all right? The electorate grew by over 20,000 people, but the PLP gained only 7,000 votes. The FNM, even though the electorate grew by over 20,000 people, got 44,000 less votes than last time. Voter apathy, sentiment turning against the FNM is the main reason the PLP is now in power. So I don't know that any outsized portion of the electorate believed that it was a new day and they rode a wave with Brave to some sort of, hope and help are on the way. I don't think that's the case at all. I think people stayed home and the PLP, remember we talked about this before? Okay, but I'm not going to go vote. And I was like, someone, you're not going to go vote, but someone will make this choice for you. You can either participate and say, hey, I tried. You could not participate and understand that the PLPs don't feel the way you do. The diehard, they're going to come out and vote. Says, one, I would like to see Jerome Fitzgerald appointed special envoy to Hong Kong to bring in those Canadian manufacturers. He knows how to do that, and it would change the course of this country. Yeah, he's been to Hong Kong several times dealing with the Bahamar thing, I believe. Says, it's a Groundhog Day. It says, once no one compares the P... It says, it's not a new day, it's Groundhog Day. It's the same day over and over. Once no one compares the PLP to the Republicans, I'm okay with that. Juan, do we know the demographics of the election yet? Who did the millennials and Gen Z vote for? We don't. This says, that's correct. The no vote equals a vote for the PLP. That's exactly what it is. It says, Fitzgerald coming back is one issue, but coming back in such a substantive post is not positive for the party. And it's a new day today. It says, so when is Shane Gibson getting a position? I'm not going to lie to you. I don't expect him to get anything high profile, but I expect him to be around. He's a part of the PLP, right? A, B, he's been convicted of no crime. Now, do you put him front and center and bring back the specter of the entire trial and Ash and the shingles and all this? The smart money says no. Good day, France is the motherland for Haiti. England is the motherland for Bahamas. They need to help. Sent with slam effect. England is your motherland, eh? England is the motherland for the Bahamas. I see. England, is the motherland for the Bahamas. England that allowed people to take ships to Africa and bring black people back here and enslave them for hundreds of years is the motherland of the Bahamas. England, who had a governor that approved laws that discriminated against colored people since the 18th century, it was before, but free black people were discriminated against, even not the slaves. Even though the slaves were still slaves. Everyone who was free and colored and black, they were discriminated against, right? So if you were, there was a law that said, if you're three generations, this is your English, your motherland, right? Said if you're three, I know we got to go to break. If you're generations removed from an African, you get special rights. And so all the Malawis are like, yeah, you don't get the rights of a white man, but you get special rights. And then your English governor sat by while the assembly changed that law. And now, I think it was, they had to be eight generations removed from a person of African descent to have basic rights, own property, conduct business, be out at certain hours of the night. That's your motherland. Let's go to a break. We'll be right back.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public and its customers that the corporation will commence improvement works on Bamboo Boulevard, South Beach East, beginning Friday, September 3rd, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily for a period of 8 weeks. During this time, there may be some interruption in water supply and traffic flow around the work area. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAL, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution. It says educate them, Juan. God save the queen. I don't know what y'all is beyond, honestly, with this. People were telling me like, oh, you should watch the Meghan Markle. I don't care about these people. Oh, the royal family's racist. Word, the House of Windsor is racist. The royal family's racist. What a shocking revelation. I'm gonna sit and watch Meghan Markle cry about it. Please. The same government house, they spending $10 million plus of VAT money on fixing up. That's what that represents. That and Nazi sympathizers. It says, I was telling people before, from before the election, that if they voted FNM last election and don't vote, that's a vote for the PLP. Don't want to hear them complaining. Well, I mean, it that's what it is. It says, I believe that people were going to support the FNM, but the last minute exposure of contracts for family and people quarantined allowed to vote amongst the average folk may have turned off some people. That's possibly true, too. But I was there, and way before that, people were saying, I'm not coming to go vote. It says, Juan, the fact the texting constituency is the voice today and not callers like Sparky, DeWitt, and Anton is definitely a new day. It says, well, if England is not our motherland because of slavery, then Africa must not be our motherland either, since our own people sold us into slavery and they still practice slavery in Africa today. There are some places in North Africa that are illegally, against every international convention, still apparently doing some underground stuff with slavery. And yes, there were people in Africa who did sell other Africans into slavery. You're going to have to reconcile and wrap your mind around all that, but that was only a portion of Africa. That wasn't representative of the entire nation of Africa. What the British did and the Dutch did and the Portuguese did and the Spanish did and the Germans cannot be justified by talking about black people in Africa sold people into slavery. All right? Black people were kept in slavery by these colonial powers for hundreds of years. And then released from slavery, owning nothing, given nothing, and discriminated against further for another 100 years. So, again, it's not even close. Said, so if we knew that England did all this to our blacks, then why did these past people keep England as our head of country? You got to ask them. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't know why it take till now to where Jamaica saying it's going to become a republic. At least Minnis said he believed we should be a republic. Well, couldn't you have done that then if we should have become a republic? Jamaica saying it's going to become a republic. Barbados saying it's going to become a republic, but yet they'll remain in the Commonwealth. Trinidad and Tobago's a republic. They're still in the Commonwealth. So I don't know. You'd have to ask these guys. Ask the people who spent $10 million to go fix a government house why the Queen is still our head of state. It says, history is a story of war, slavery, conquering, and conquest. And we move on. You can move on. That's fine. You know, but you ain't gonna give all the land back, eh? While we move on. Y'all who didn't get nothing, y'all move, let's all move on, right? I got mine. Let's all move on, right? All the land you got, all the gold, all the oil and treasure, it's just history. Let's move on now. You ain't giving nothing back. How about you give it all back, and then we move on? Give everything back, and then we move on. All right? So, it says, I completely disagree with you on no matter who stay home and who vote. Someone had to win. If Minnis had won, he immediately signed a deal with Oban and made Adrian Gibson deputy prime minister. Are you saying you would have said, y'all must know what y'all wanted because you vote for Minnis? You know how he go? No. This is a Bahamian government. Any Bahamian citizen can and should speak up if they feel misguided decisions are being made. You could speak up, absolutely. But what I'm saying to you is, if you said, I'm not going to go vote, you help put the PLP in power. So I don't know what the complaint is. It says, let's move on. Sounds about white. That's what everybody say when they were, right? It's always the guy who came up will move on. Why are we talking about this? Right. We still talking about that? This is one, if all of Allison and Fitzgerald and the like is so good, how come they could never negotiate shares in these companies but could negotiate Crown Land, free Crown Land and marketing money for the investors. They don't seem that brilliant to me. Well, I mean, I can't deny their intelligence and their capacity. All right. Were they perfect? It says, leave Meghan alone. She became black overnight. When she was informed of where she stood, the parliamentarians still pledge allegiance to the Queen and her successors, not to us. That is correct. That is correct. Every time y'all say this, God save the Queen. Government House, the Governor General. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Right? Are y'all like completely oblivious of your entire history? Okay. No, we don't have time to do this right now. We're going to talk about Brave Davis's completely contradictory position about his cabinet now from what he blasted Ingram about with his cabinet then, with Ingram's cabinet then. And it's instructive. And in fact, I have the speech that he gave when they were discussing the boundaries report. And I'll say this. It's an excellent speech. And I agree with what he says. He probably had like Sean McQuinney or somebody research this. This is meticulous. Right? He goes through the history of our parliament in this country. All right? So we're going to talk about it. And we're going to reference National Review. I'm sorry. You don't... You don't like my position on England? On the monarchy? Oh, no. One, I hate to say it, but every major country in the world had slavery in the 1600s, including China, Russia, India, England was no different than those guys. So why do you just villainize England? That's day why. England was here, right? England was with my ancestors, with this country, and we still bowing down to a country that oppressed us for all these years. I don't get it. That's why I deal with England. Let the Chinese go deal with the Xi Jinping or whatever like that. I'm dealing with the people here, from the British people who screwed us over here. I'm dealing with them. This says, hello, I encourage you and anyone listening to watch a television series called Britannia. Then you'll understand why the world is the way it is and why it will never change. It says, one, please don't summon Anton. I'm afraid for, I don't, the phone ain't working, so we're just going to be doing text, but I'm going to talk about this. Talk about Brave Davis's contradictory comments. It says, why is it that people are allowed to vote the PLP out in frustration, but the same is not applicable for the FNM? It seems as if people of color have no problem with Eurocentric lords in other countries, but when we appoint political appointees, all hell breaks loose. Make it make sense, folks. Y'all keep that energy going for Mother England, right? These people don't care about us. They historically have been bad for us. I don't understand what the fascination with them still is. And that's not anything to say, oh, Juan, you're making it racial. I didn't make it racial. You made it racial, right? You're the ones who passed laws saying that black people were property. You're the ones who passed laws saying that women and black people couldn't vote. It ain't me. I didn't start this. You just don't want me talking about it. All right. Let's go to the break, and then we'll be back. We'll talk about a new payday. Today's National Review.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We got our phone lines back, so you can call us. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796. That's the text line. It says, Juan, sound like you have a problem with white people? Please, be serious. I have a problem with no people. My mother's grandfather, in fact, was a white man. Y'all don't want to talk about that. Y'all don't talk about that part of it either, eh? And my grandmother's mother was the color of this chair I'm sitting in. And she wasn't his wife. And she wasn't the only, she wasn't his wife, and my grandmother wasn't the only child that they had together, and he had a whole different family, Lightborn, but I'm gonna leave that there for today. I got no problem with anyone. I got a problem with the history of England, and I got a problem with the monarchy, and I got a problem with us still having such deep connections and reverence for them, but I got a problem with no particular person of any color. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Call it is talking voice of what you want.
Hey, what's happening?
I'm right here, man. Thank God.
All right.
I got 2 points for you I would like for you to elaborate on.
Mm-hmm.
Aiding and abetting. I would wish you would teach the public of aiding and abetting because it seems like that only good for some people. And, you know, when I say only good, when some people does it, they go to jail or get charged. But when, say, other people does it, it goes just like that. My other point is, right, I've heard that the Queen of Britain's son, one of the Queen of Britain's son, being charged, being sued. You heard anything of that?
Yeah, what's his name? Prince Andrew, I think. He's been, and they were talking about his ties to Jeffrey Epstein, who was a billionaire who apparently ran a child sex trafficking ring, who was found dead in his cell in prison. That's as much as I know about it. Let's go phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Hey, what's up, my brother?
Hey, what's going on, DeWitt?
And I am great. It's a new day.
They keep telling me that.
Mr. McCartney.
Hey.
Let me say something. I take you like a brethren, man. It's going to be good. You know, it's just that people need to give... Mr. Davis, the same way we gave Mr. Pinland, we gave Mr. Ingram, we gave Mr. Minnis. I think it's only fair that we give Mr. Davis a chance. Yeah. Fair enough to say?
Yeah, man. Listen, and I'll let you finish, right? But Ingram had Brent Simonette at the airport authority when he first got in power, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this may have been during the second term. And Brent Simonette... and the board authorized a no-bid contract to fix an issue at the airport, right? And the contract was for the company that Brent Simonette had a stake in.
Right.
Brent Simonette resigned, right? He was wrong for that. He resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Ingram brought the man back into his cabinet, okay? And so did Minnis. So
right.
I try to figure out, like, what's this thing where people get cast? Like, this is a new thing.
Let me say something to you. I have a friend... I can't call her name on the radio, but she's well known in the F&M government. She was politically appointed to one of the offices, a well high office in this country, right? And you know what she said to me? She said, DeWitt, man, Thursday about 4 o'clock, she called her superior and she said that she want access to her office to start taking her things out.
Right.
Because... when you are politically appointed, and Mr. McCartney, and I kudos to Mr. Kevin Harris, he wrote something, and people understand how this thing goes because the president, which is Biden, you see him still have Donald Trump people there?
No, dude, it don't work like that. That's
but Juan, you know that, and I know that, but a lot of people don't, you know, people thinking... these persons who are given these tremendous jobs and contracts by for political reasons, right? They feel like, hey, there's something that Mr. Davis or the PLP just came and do it. Both governments do it. Both governments, when they change, they bring their people in. And in particular, they bring their people into key places. Well, how could I put, if I'm Mr. Davis, how could I take Marlon Johnson to put him?
Yeah, you want him there. He wants time.
When I was in the opposition, I was talking about, why I put Mr. Simon on all of those vacation leaves. And I know Mr. Simon's expertise. And I know he have my back. You see, that's what a lot of people don't understand. You got to put the people in these positions who got your back.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, payment people. You know, like I always say, even from the top brass of the police force to any government department, when you are politically appointed, there is no guarantee when the government change, they leave you there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, DeWitt. Now, I could see you saying, okay, Fitzgerald's there. I know when he was minister, we had a couple issues. Let's make sure to keep our eyes open. But to, like, have this sense of, like, outrage and surprise, I don't get it. I'll be real with you. Maybe I'm getting cynical. It says, good afternoon, one. It seems clear to me that many people do not know the brutal hand that the British monarchy has dealt when it comes to slavery. Even when slavery was abolished, slaves had to pay their rich slave masters for the money. Slave masters lost due to their freedom. It's not about black or white. It's about human dignity. But I guess once you're whipped into submission, anyone can be loyal. When they freed the he's right. When they freed the slaves, right, the slave owners got paid. Not the slaves got any sort of compensation for working their lives without pay. The slave owners got paid. It says, one, you're being labeled racist because you've spoken out about the injustices against your ancestors. Keep speaking up for truth and justice. Everyone, you cannot possibly think I'm a racist. You must know that that's not the case. I'm not anything-ist that I can think of. Or phobic. I don't have problems with people based on any of that stuff. Your gender, your sexuality, your race, none of it. I assess people for the people they are. This says, hello, Mr. McCartney. Awesome show. As always, I agree with you a million, billion, trillion, gazillion times about England. People need to know their history and they won't be so quick to defend them. It boils my blood to hear our people speak so frivolously about things they do not know. Educate and stay woke, people. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. I still want to talk about Davis.
Hey, Juan, how you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Man, not bad at all. So, Juan, I called you earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
I called you earlier last week or so.
Right.
And I talked about roads and parks.
Right.
Now, some of us have not gotten paid for about 3 months, and many people have gotten paid because their contracts actually were processed earlier.
Well, you still haven't gotten paid.
Still haven't gotten paid, Mr. Juan. And I'm understanding that now we're not going to get paid until there's someone installed in to roads and parks.
Well, what that got to do with you? What someone being in charge of roads and parks have to do with the Treasury paying you?
Exactly. But of course, we do know that that might have been something that got stopped by the government. I'm not going to even say that's Brave Davis because I don't believe he's funneling with it. All I'm saying, Juan, I will keep you up to breast on this because I think it's unfair. I remember the speech very well. The speech said he will be fair to all behemoths. And some of our contracts were signed. You understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
So if the contracts were signed, let's honor those contracts because those are behemoths and taxpayers also.
I think that they should honor your contract. I don't think that that's a complicated matter at all. So
right.
I'm hoping you do get paid, and I don't understand why someone has to be installed at roads and parks, not roads, but parks and beaches or beaches and parks, before you get paid. I don't get it. So I'm hoping
right.
You do get paid.
Now, Juan, I have something to say about that Haitian issue.
Okay.
One of the issues that I have with it, and I know it can stir up a little bit of controversy, but one of the issues that I really have with it is that what we don't realize as Damons is all the hello?
I'm here.
All the patients that are here right now are the ones fueling this fire. The ones that are working are sending money home, and they're sending money for their friends and their family members to come over, because what they do is they send that money home, and then their family or friends come over and has to pay them back. So what I think the government need to do is, you know, if someone's sending $100, charge them $100. So when that $100 comes to the government, they could help take care of the Haitians when they come in. You understand what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, yeah. What you're saying. I mean, I don't necessarily agree, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but Juan, all I'm trying to say, rather than us, the taxpayers, have to continue to pay that, why not charge, if they're sending Western Union $100, charge $100.
Okay. Okay.
And then with the $100 you charge, you put that on the side for immigration, and when these people come, they can take care. I could help take care of them. That's all I'm saying, Juan.
I hear you. I hear you. I mean, the logic that you're using, that anyone who sends money back to Haiti is sending it so that their relatives can come, I think that's a serious leap in logic. I know several Haitian people who have sent money back to Haiti because they wanted to send their children to school because there's no public education system in Haiti. I know some people who sent money back to Haiti because they wanted their family to buy groceries. If you say you want to tax the remittances more, yes, but I don't think the reason for that should be that you think everyone's sending money back so their relatives can come into the country illegally. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? Good afternoon. Nope. Okay, let's move on. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
How's it going?
Spock here. And I can tell you one thing I know about that. You have some illegal Haitians right down in the borough are paying Bahamians to send money to Haiti for them.
That could be true.
Paying Bahamians for a little $20. Hey, give you $20. I can give you all the information. You go in there and you send it to Haiti for me. Mm-hmm. Because I witnessed it. I took a gentleman there, a Bahamian gentleman. I gave him a ride. Because his family member of the United States was sending money to him by the Western Union or whatever that place there. But I saw him on the side taking some papers. I'm counting this other Haitian. So I met him. I said, what you doing? He said, well, I usually make my little tips around here doing this. I said, doing what? They can't sell it because they're illegal, so I get the papers from them, and I take it in, and I go to get my take. I send their money off of them, and they give me a little something. So we are at fault with this thing, too. And Mr. McCarthy, like you said, with these behemoths, I don't know if they don't understand that politics is like a basketball game. You lost the championship last year. You rebuild your team, you come back this year, and you win the championship. Now you want repeat, right, Mr. McCarthy?
Right.
So what you do now, you do some trades in the off-season, you get some stronger to try and win the next year.
Right.
And when the PLP came back in power this time, they have some old stalwarts that have been with them during the ups and downs of this and that and the next, and they've been out of work now for the last 4.5 years. What Bahamians believe when they come, but they want to change that. When they come back, these people were still there and down in the mud for 4.5 years, keeping the party going, keeping the campaign going. When things get back in power, you expect the PLP not to help them back out.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Like said, I have never gotten involved in politics in all my years the way I've done this time. I have not worked since 2011, Mr. McCarthy. I've been living off of national insurance only. And the cost of living been going up and up and up, so my salary been remaining the same. And I found it out. So this time, I decided that I was going to get deeply involved in the trenches. Now, you were trying to tell me if something should happen. They ain't going to remember that Sparky was out there on Facebook, WhatsApp Messenger. The Goblin was out there pushing, wicked, trying to get my candidate in the House of Assembly, of which I did get him in. Me and the crew down there, God bless, got Mr. Bolek in. We congratulate him. Now, if something should happen and I give a little contract to Weed Vineyard or one park, you could get mad at Sparky because of that. And I wait for over 11 years. You've got to be crazy. Have a good day.
All right, Sparky. It says, agree. England enslaved our ancestors, let the U.S. dump toxic waste in our waters, left us high and dry post-independence. And yet we still have the colonial mindset and its trappings. People forget Turks got help from them after Dorian and didn't even look in the direction of their former colony next door with all the destruction we had. The British Navy helped. I won't take that away from them. It says they would never consider reparations. True. The Privy Council rejects the death penalty and murderers eat our VAT money. Being a part of the Commonwealth means nothing beyond some reduced schooling and immigration restrictions. I'd say become a republic too, except government would appoint 5 committees, have 2 referenda, because the first would be an opinion poll, and spend another few million campaigning for freedom, only to leave us in the same economic position and no national development plan. Let's just fix our country and ignore the Meghan and Harry. Ignore Meghan and Harry and their drama. That's good. I didn't mean to start off this whole colonial debate. Y'all just... It touches a nerve in me. So... It says Juan, who's Brave Davis' speechwriter. I don't know. I don't know that he has a speechwriter. I was being facetious when I said Sean McQueenie maybe did research for him, but I don't know that he has. I know that he doesn't. He didn't. I know that certain people would help him write certain things on along the campaign trail, you know, like an Elcott Colby, who just, you see what I'm saying? Like Elcott Colby left BIS after the last election. He was deputy director, I believe. He's now director of BIS. You can be shook, right? Latre Ramming was handling communications for Davis, or trying to anyway, prior to the election, and now he's director of communications at OPM. It says, this is not a basketball game. This is serious. If they're going to play around trading jobs and contracts, we will all be on sloops trying to get into the U.S. soon. There's no money to be paying people to pose in any senior position in this country. Sparky don't deserve no payment for helping Bullock. And I agree, it's a problem. The system of political patronage is a problem. And we could fit. But the problem with the main problem with it is that it's left up to the political parties to fix. So someone had called and explained that we will need a government that's willing to fall on its sword, right? That's willing to lose an election before we have real, meaningful reform in the country, and that may be the case. You got a government that comes in and say, hey, we're doing income tax, all right? Got a government come in and say, hey, we're regularizing all these people without status. You come in and say, hey, we're putting the marital rape in the law, okay? We're going to, what else was super controversial? We're going to become a republic, all right? We're going to pass campaign finance laws, all right? We're going to stop doing this. We're going to reduce the civil service. We're going to shed state-owned enterprises in a reasonable way. And you'll lose the election because a lot of that stuff is very unpopular, but you could really change the country. But the problem with the system of political patronage is it's up to the politicians to fix. And so why would you fix something that's been working for you for so long? Me do a phone call. Am I going to get the brave speech today? I'll try. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
You know, the thing, the last statement you made just now was fitting, you know. And
thanks.
But, you know, you talked about the appointment of ministers and advisors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, it ain't about their ability to drive them in the direction of the party. You see, but the issue I have is action where, you see. So
you're breaking up. What do you say the issue you have is what?
Yeah, I have an issue with this. Where they're going, not their ability to take them where the PLP plan takes them,
mm-hmm.
or written plan takes them. But the problem is, like Al-Qaeda said, a good tax lawyer. Income You know what I'm saying? So, you see, so it doesn't matter how good he is at do what he do, it's where he's going to take us.
Agreed.
The direction they're taking us.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Now, you got to start off with capability in my book, right? Because we're not going to go anywhere without capable people being in place. But you also have to have the intention to make meaningful change and work at it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
How's it going, my brother?
Everything is all right. You know, you have to be a Leo, you know, because I agree with you. You know, I'm not interested in Meghan and Harry and who get married. My mind can never tarry, right?
Right.
Now, you know, a lot of people call and think they know about history, but I just let me give you a little brief thing on what I learned from grade 8. And they must remember, history was always written by the winners. In 1433, Gillian is the Portuguese explorer, a squire, right? He ran as far as the Canary Islands because they always was trying to get east. They were trying to go east and use past the Cape of Good Hope. So he ran as far as the Canary Islands, and he ran back to Portugal. But on his way back, he had captured some of the, in the book, they are pagans, the pagan natives, and brought them back as slaves. So when I said, glad you're intelligent, you know, when the person said, we sold one of the end of slavery, that could never compute because of the number of slaves that arrived here.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't sell, you know, you see, this is a concept that people don't really understand. And so you have to realize that even when you look at a medieval map, you would see in the center of the map, you would see Palestine and Jerusalem. That is because that was the medieval concept, and America was not known to them as then. So we have to put history in its context and stop being lost and repeating narratives that we know nothing about. And so Prince Henry of Portugal, he was not a navigator. He was actually a crusader. And so these are the misconceptions about history. And so, yeah, like me, right? Like my sister and my brother, red like you, right, Warren?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm little brown skin. They call me yellow, and then my other brother's a bit darker. We have descendants from the red-based Indians. But I consider myself black because I know about eugenics. Once you have a gram of black blood in you, you're black. And so I experienced racism in Savannah, Georgia, when I was a little child, about 11. The white guy pulled up on the side of me and my cousin on a Volkswagen and spat some butter pecan ice cream on me in the middle of nowhere in any remote farmland in Savannah, Georgia. I didn't know nothing about that, but that's what I experienced. Have a good day, brother. Bless up.
Okay, my brother. Now, look, you know, and one texter wrote that, you know, Africans sold off Africans in a slave, and that's true, you know, and it's just something we have to reconcile in our history. Now, I don't know none of them, right? But you have families in the western coast of Africa, portions of it anyway, because Africa's massive, whose ancestors did sell other Africans into slavery, and they're still trying to reconcile that to this day. And so it's not something that we just dismiss because of the history of slavery. It's something we reconcile with, but we recognize the empire's role in it. All right? Good afternoon, Juan. I don't see the problem with Jerome Fitzgerald coming back to serve. I think he has plenty to offer. Renward Wells was fired for the LOI he signed, and Dr. Minnis brought him back in his cabinet. I don't think he wasn't fired, as far as I'm aware. Mr. Pintard resigned after the tapes were released with Tuggy and Bobo, and he came back. Brent Simonet resigned and came back. So what's the problem with Fitzgerald? And Fitzgerald ain't in cabinet. Says the Haitian government makes a percentage out of every dollar for each remittance sent to Haiti, regardless of where it is sent from. The Haitian government has absolutely no incentives to stop illegal immigration, implement a tax, or if it is already taxed, increase the tax on remittances to Haiti. Yeah, the remittances to Haiti and the tax that the Haitian government puts on it is one of the main revenue streams of the government. We tax it too, but we could tax it more. That's fine, but I wouldn't just do it, because they're Haitian. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that you approach tax policy and foreign policy in that manner. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. I would like to remind you that before the elections, I said that Baintown would have been in trouble. I asked Baintown to beware of the candidate that they choose.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't too obliged with both candidates from the two major parties. So what I did is I sat back and I I wasn't going to vote, honestly. On the 11th hour, Reverend Dr. C.B. Moss came publicly and he endorsed a candidate because he is my alma mater. I voted for that candidate. That candidate is not a likable person, and he sits divided between the party, it's the partisan, and also the Baintown residents in general.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell him something, and let me say something to you, Mr. Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
If Mr. Watson isn't interested in representing the people of Baintown properly, I request and I ask that he please remove himself as the Member of Parliament for Baines and Grantstown, because we don't have another 5 years to vote to waste in our lives.
So let me understand. You voted for him, you said?
Yes.
But what indication do you have that he's not interested in representing the constituency?
Oh, because already he have been, from he came in, he was out of sync with the constituents. Okay? And he has a very abrupt and despondent attitude towards people.
Mm.
You know, he feels like, you know, that seat was built for him. This is not a coaching game, and this is not a basketball tournament. So I want him to know that this is for real, and real people will try to remove him as best we can if he is not interested in representing us properly. Good day.
Okay. I mean, someone should tell him that one of his constituents is not not happy with the representation so far. Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. The scripture says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. A blind man can see that the PLP and the FNM are one and the same. They both have people that they are not going to go against no matter what they do. So we as Bahamians need to wake up, and only then would we be able to get out of this dream that we are living in, thinking they are different. It says, good afternoon. God gave all humans survival instincts. If Bahamians were born in Haiti, they would flee from poverty. Well, when other people send money to Jamaica and the U.S., should we charge them 100 to 100 as well? That caller's tripping, like you were speaking about slavery, and some of these black people can't understand what you're saying, bro. But that's why black nations struggle to this day. We hate on each other. A friend of mine, see, you got to be careful when you approach these things, right? So be careful in your approach to these things, because what you don't want in public policy is to fix one issue to the detriment of many other issues. So a friend of mine has a housekeeper. She's Jamaican. And she would send all of her money back to her mother, who was sick. Her mother's died now. Her mother, who was sick, and her father was sick, and some of her family weren't working. So when you say, oh, let's charge the Haitians, and no government's going to say, oh, only if you Haitian, we're going to charge you money, you'd have to say, we got to do it with everyone. You're really impacting people who are trying just to survive, you know. So you got to be careful with your with how you think about these things. And you also should practice some empathy and consider that you wouldn't want anyone to do it to you. Right? If you had a child in school or living in the United States or Canada and they had no food to eat, and you say, well, I'm going to send you $100, but I don't have the $100 to send the $100, you wouldn't want that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Yeah, a couple of points, Mr. McCartney. It's the first time I ever called this show.
Thank you for calling.
I think it was a few days before election, you had a show where you let people call and some text, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say you got the most text you ever got. The FNM was 700 and something.
Yeah.
The PLC was 300 something, right?
No, the total was over 700.
Altogether?
It was like probably almost 800, but the FNM got the most text.
Okay, because what I was saying at that time, I have 3 phones in my house.
Right? No, it means nothing. It was just an exercise, yeah. And right, just for fun. Really.
No, because I after you said the PLP must be have no data, but the PLP shows that they had voters' card. Now another point too, right? But I want to raise.
Sure.
Every time the FNM lose government, it is biggest talk about our people ain't come out. We ain't come out. Prior to 92, how much seats the FNM hold in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? It was 42. How much seats was the FNM hold?
I think they had something like, prior to 92, they had like 13, I think.
13 or 12.
Yeah.
Okay, all the rest was the PLP.
Right.
So if it always was PLPs, who put the FNM in government? PLP's children who know of just something which you spoke about earlier, about what the colonialists did to us. This is their ancestors right here now. It was the PLP who took us out of that. It was the PLP who stopped us can't go over Zion Church 6 o'clock. It was the PLP who caused the woman to be able to vote. So you don't think over generations, these people already know that. So now and again, if the PLP do something what people feel untowards, they vote them out. But every time I hear this talk, oh, our people ain't come out, this one ain't come out, all of the traditional FNM seats, what they always want, they did it. They win Long Island. They win Freeport. Most of the time, Weston and Bimini will go with the PLP. So most of the traditional FNM seats, they won. And if more people come out, they would get beat worse and they got beat. Okay?
You think
and that's my view on it. They would get beat worse than this. This is my last point too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something about empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it should be fair to everybody. And some of what you made mention, like you say, if someone else was living somewhere else, you wouldn't want them to do that to you. I agree 100% with that. But I think that's one of our problems for years we've been running this country of empathy. Okay? If you look on a map, the Haitians passed Jamaica, they passed Cuba, they passed everybody and come down to the Bahamas.
But you don't have
Why
to pass. You don't have to pass. I look at the map. You don't have to pass Cuba to get here. You don't have to pass Jamaica. Jamaica's adjacent to Haiti.
Yeah, but Cuba landmasters come way down. They don't go to them places.
Well, listen, Enagua was 60 miles from Haiti, right? So on a clear day, you could see the mountains from Turks, and you could see the Haitian mountains, some of the Haitian mountains from Turks and from some of the Southern Keys.
So let me ask you this question. What about Dominican Republic where you could walk over? They don't go there, right?
They go there, but they're not welcome there.
Okay, so it's fair to say successive government has coaxed this problem with the Haitian people. And that's a fact. When you really look at it, okay, they have this policy now where it's okay, a magistrate got to get fly down in Enagua to process the people. If you go in a country and you need to go to a court, that means you broke some law. So once you break that law, you get charged. Okay? After you get charged, either you pay a fine or you go to jail. And after that happens, you'll be fingerprinted, your picture will be taken, and if you dare enter that country again, what will happen? If the time is 20 years, you'll get your 20 years. America does it. Other people does it. We, as a country, facilitate, successive government facilitate the Haitian people with this nonsense of keep coming. Even with me, who support the PLP 7 times, notice the talk. We have this problem until Haiti get fixed. Oh, say, America could help Haiti. Britain could help Haiti. All these people could help Haiti. They wouldn't help them. America had, 17,000 Haitians on their border. They wouldn't lift restriction on visas for Haiti, for Haitians to come to the United States if you give America all the money in the world, because they don't want that. But you will hear some people say, oh, you treat them inhumane. You treat this one inhumane. You lift visas that all Haitians in Haiti could travel to the United States or anywhere in Canada or anywhere in other countries, then you could tell me you're serious about helping the Haitian people. Thank you, Mr. McGartney.
Okay. I mean, I think that you will need the global powers to help Haiti, particularly the U.S., since they've been so intricately involved in Haiti politics for 100 years. But I don't know. I don't know how you stop illegal migration from a country to 60 miles south of our border if the people are fleeing poverty, fleeing destruction, earthquakes, etc. So I don't know how you stop it. I think the method that we have now is effective. I'd note that thousands of illegal Haitian migrants get deported every year. We need to figure out our approach to the shantytown issue. We need to figure out our approach to the status issue of the Haitian people. So, but in terms of, we should not have empathy for people. I disagree. I don't want to live like that. You know what I mean? I want to consider other people. I want to be fair to other people, and you should be fair to us, and you should empathize with us. We don't have resources to take care of every person who would wish to come. But at the same time, we can. I would like to approach it. You could do as you choose. I want to live in a country where we approach these things as if we are sensitive to what others are going through. Because, yes, we go through a lot, too, but a lot of the people who are coming here are going through something much, much, much deeper. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back after that. I guess we won't get the Greg Davis's speech today. But read today's National Review, A New Payday. All right, so you can juxtapose the Prime Minister's comments about the size of the cabinet now to the then deputy leader, was he at the time? Comments about deputy leader of the Progressive Liberal Party's comments about the size of the cabinet when Ingram was in power. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAL, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
You've tried everything. ASUS with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bs.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
At Wendy's, we are cooling things down with our new Kit Kat Frosty. Try our traditional chocolate or vanilla Frosty topped with classic milk chocolate Kit Kat pieces. Our signature frozen dessert is not an ice cream. It's a Frosty. 100% dairy, that is. Great things happen when two icons meet. Our signature Frosty and a creamy milk chocolate taste of Kit Kat. Available for a limited time only. Restrictions apply. Wendy's, different inside and out.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. To recap, we were talking about Jerome Fitzgerald. That took quite a while. We're talking about the system of political patronage in this country. We were also talking about the Haitians for some reason. And we were also talking about our colonial history and my displeasure and that we remain so closely tied to the British monarchy. It says, hey, bro, maybe people need to realize that if Dorian did it in Nassau, we would have been fleeing from here as well, would have been asking other countries for help and shelter. Look, this issue with illegal migration from Haiti is not going to stop overnight. As poorly as the Dominican Republic has treated Haitians over the past about 60 years or so, they still go there, right? They're not welcome in a lot of the country, but they still go there. Read up on Raul Trujillo, who was president of DR. He had a military junta, and how he dealt with the Haitian people, which is kind of is what led to a lot of sentiment about Haitians in the Dominican Republic today. We're not going to solve it overnight, right? So I don't know that speaking about it hyperbolically, like let's get tougher and tax them more and target the Haitians that are here, I don't know that that solves anything. Now, of course, I don't support illegal migration. I don't support taking on everybody who comes. We don't have the resources for it. But I believe we can discuss it in a way that is both logical and compassionate, because they are going through some stuff. I won't lie to you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
How you doing today, Juan?
Hey, I'm good, man. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, Juan. Wanted to just mention something on the immigration discussion you're having.
Sure.
Yeah, I would have submitted close to 100 policy recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I would have submitted close to 100 policy recommendations to my party, and immigration was one of them because it's a critical matter that rises to the level of national security in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter that has been outstanding and unaddressed for too long in our country. And it needs to be addressed in my government administration, my prime minister, my deputy prime minister, my cabinet. I'm calling on them and demanding of them to put the immigration matter to rest, to correct the deficiencies in the Constitution, whether it calls for parliamentary rule or whether it calls for referendum, to do what is necessary. This is a part of the creating the legislative agenda for each new session of each year of the 5 years that I also called for one, right? We need to determine what referendums are required in order to address not just immigration, but those 70 outstanding referendum issues that was left on the board by the former commission led by Sean McQueeny, QC, and Justice Nottage. You recall what I'm talking about, Juan?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. So we need the government, we need the prime minister and his government to proactively and progressively and aggressively deal with the deficiencies in our constitution as it relates to the articles of who qualifies to become a behemoth, who does not qualify to be a behemoth. We need them to address the deficiencies in our constitution as it relates to who can access what services and according to the UN agreement and at what cost, if there is going to be any, to access services, because the UN never dictates that you cannot charge for services. It just says that you have to provide the services as it relates to migrants or illegal immigration in the country. And we also want,
yep.
And we also need to put to rest once and for all migrants who are in our country, who have met the criteria and have qualified to be granted citizenship. We owe it to them, and we owe it to democracy, fairness, and justice in our country to put those situations to rest by making a final decision, by regularizing those persons, and granting them their...
I got to go here, Anton.
Pardon me?
I got to go here, man.
I'm ending right now. I'm granting them their constitutional rights based on the Constitution. And then put the base in Inagua. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Juan. Continue the good work.
All right. Thanks, my brother. I mean, look, I don't want to just end on a note about illegal migration because I really ain't came here to talk about that today at all. We talked about it on Monday ad nauseum, but you're not going to get me to agree that being harsh to Haitians who come here, who are fleeing poverty, is going to stop them from coming here. All right? Not only do I not support it, I just don't think it'll work. So I'm not going to be meaner to anybody in order to try to stop them from fleeing a situation that they're forced to flee from. You got 400 people stranded on a key near Ragged Island. What do you do? Right? You could sit at home and talk about harshness and this and that and be cruel to them and everything. What inside of you denies the humanity of those people who are stranded on a key without food and water? And if you're a person who just says, well, no one told them to come here and let them face whatever fate they want, then you should just probably remain silent. We got time for a call? That's fine. Let's do a call. You're just never going to get me to see this issue from this idea of being hostile toward the Haitians. It's just never going to happen. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
I'm sorry. Let me do a quick info.
They got to be quick.
I watched my Bahamian people in Miami, good Miami, the wet foot, dry foot policy, lose Miami. Now they have to go north, get big-time jobs because they lost count of the real Americans. Too much. The Cubans run Miami now. Did you hear Fred Mitchell say he going to help lift the embargo?
Yeah.
I mean, that's impossible. The Cuban lobby is so powerful, that would never happen if only they wanted to happen. We should know better than that. Senators run, they run the Senate.
Okay.
That's impossible for them to lift an embargo.
All right, we got to go. I'm sorry. It was too late to take the call. But now that you mentioned Cuba, I'll say this too, right? And so it's not like, oh, Juan, you're in like the secret Haitian cabal or whatever like this. I feel the same way about Cuba. People were saying, oh, if the Democrats get in, they're going to lift the embargo on Cuba and it's going to impact our tourism. For real? You think the tourism dollars trumps the concerns that the Cuban people have had for 50-plus years about not being able to join the world banking system, not being able to access goods and services from the world's largest superpower right off their doorstep? Like, they're going to have more tourism now. We don't want that. We built our brand of tourism for over 50 years while Cuba's sunk deeper into degradation, right? And I know you socialists out there are going to disagree with me and you think Cuba's great. I've been there, all right? It's different than it is here. It says, Juan, this is an issue for your and my children. The Bahamian people have empathy for the Haitians. If we don't stop this run, they will come in and drain our resources and we will become a little Haiti. Here's what I'm saying to you, though, before I go. You can't. No, the Bahamas does not have the power through whatever means they try, right? Legislatively, policy-wise, here in the Bahamas, to stop the Haitians from leaving Haiti. It just doesn't make sense. We can patrol our borders, try to be more secure, have sensible legislation, but we're not going to stop them coming. Now, the Defense Force apprehended over 900, are sending 900 back. I don't know where the complaint is about what we're doing in this country. I could see you having a problem with what the Haitian government's doing in their inaction, but we're not going to stop them from coming. We can only do our best to try to have sensible immigration policy and manage our resources as well as we can. All right, we got to go. You guys have a great day. Take care out there. We'll be back tomorrow. We may talk about National Review tomorrow. All right, you guys stay safe out there. We'll be back tomorrow, like I said, Lord willing. Take care, Bahamas.